May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder how you feel each time you drive past an ambulance. Perhaps you are driving and you need to park on a safe place for the ambulance to drive past. I wonder how you normally feel. What runs through your mind? Since the very beginning, the ministry of healing has played a vital and central part in the life of both Israel and the Church of Jesus Christ. And in the past few weeks, we've been discussing the miracle of Jesus. As recorded in Genesis, the world was made good. It was a good place, but the wholeness of the world was broken by sin. We learned from the very beginning that it is God's plan to restore to wholeness the earth and all who dwell in it. And it is for this reason that Jesus came. Our reading from Isaiah this morning begins with the words, "Who has believed our report? Who has believed our report?" Many still do not believe, in spite of such a clear prophecy and even the clear work demonstrated by the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the time of the birth of Christ, the nation Israel was under the iron rule of Rome. In fact, they were not free. They were under bondage. Israel was a wilderness of dry ground. And this dryness could be seen in its economic, political, religious, spiritual, social spheres. Indeed, it was humanly impossible for his generation to produce Jesus. But he nevertheless came because he came from God. God sent him. It is in line with his calling that he went about preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick. And as was read in our New Testament lesson, Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. And after the synagogue services, Simon, who is believed to have been in that service, invited him over to his house for a wee kappa, and which is often referred to as Sabbath meal. So Jesus agreed to go to the house of Simon for a wee kappa tea. Luke further writes that Simon's mother-in-law was ill with what is described as mega or high fever. To get the picture of this story, we should remember that Luke was a doctor by training and profession, what we call maybe a GP or a consultant in our own time, medical consultant. So he was aware of what he was saying in terms of whether it was low fever or high fever. So he knew quite well. Fever is a result of an immune response by our body to a foreign invader. These foreign invaders include viruses, bacteria, fungi, drugs, or other toxins. Major fever, and I believe our medical experts here will agree with me, indicates serious illness and may risk brain damage or death. And so Simon's mother-in-law was a poor lady. She was really sick, terribly sick. In this story, Luke shows Jesus taking a doctor's position. And you can understand that because he too was a medical doctor. So Jesus took a medical doctor's position. You know how you are on sick bed and how the doctor comes to ask you, "How are you doing today? Are you all right? Have you had your wee kappa? and things like that. So that's the kind of picture that Luke presents here. But I wonder what was going on in the mind of Jesus as he was standing over Simon's mother-in-law. We are not told much about what happened, except that he spoke a word and the sickness left. It was instant. It was an instantaneous healing. Not only that Jesus healed this poor sick lady, the word of Jesus' healing went out into the community. And so people came around to Jesus with different kinds of sicknesses. And this time around, Jesus did not speak. He laid hands on them. He laid hands on them, and it is written that they were also healed. The approach was not what made a difference. Jesus made a difference. Whether the word or laying of hand, Jesus brought a supernatural power that was stronger than any disease. Now, when we read the story of Jesus, I believe we'll be wondering, why do we have to read all of this? And how does this relate to what is going on in our world today, or perhaps in our own personal lives and experiences? When we read the story of Jesus, we do not only ask what happened. We are asking how his love and power can become real in our own lives and in today's world. God is speaking to us when we read the story of Jesus. He's speaking to our hearts. He is calling us to trust him and to crown him as the king of our lives. He's inviting us to a place of trust, trusting him no matter what the situations of life might be for us. Perhaps we might also want to ask, is this wonderful story limited only to the people of Capernaum in a century long ago? Or can or does Jesus still heal today? That would be a possible question to ask. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still can heal, and he still does heal. Jesus is no less powerful, no less responsive, and no less compassionate today than he was then. He's still the same as he was. There are many people whose bodies are completely free, perhaps, in the physical sense, but they are captive in their minds and hearts to anxiety and fear. And for some, there's a sense of loss of God's provision and security. There are many others, too, who are bound up by sin, their own sin, or the sins that others have committed against them, sins they have not been able to forgive. And again, there are others who, like Simon's mother-in-law, do indeed need physical restoration. For all of this, we are called to minister and to proclaim the good news of God's love, God's unconditional love to people. That is our call, no matter what the problem might be. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the good news of healing, which Jesus Christ proclaimed for individuals, community, and for the world. So too, the church's ministry can be described as one of healing. The healing of ourselves and of our relationships with God, with one another, and with our environment. We could describe this to be our call as a congregation. In St. John's Church, we offer special opportunities for prayer for healing. And so I would like to say to us today, if you'd like to have an elder, myself, or any member of our prayer team to pray with you, we welcome you to speak to someone after service. Or come along to our service this evening with prayers for healing. We hold this service once every month, second Sunday of every month. Invite your friends. Tell the story of God's kindness and mercies. We believe that God's love for us and will for us is the very best. His desire for us is to bring us and to help us to experience the kingdom life. But we also know that suffering and death are conditions which we experience in this life. God is not distant from us in our pains, in our worries, in our sicknesses. He's not withdrawn. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. God shared in this life suffering and death on the cross through the dying and rising of Jesus. And he's very close to us in our life journeys. As friends of Jesus, though there may be dark and more questions than answer days, days we ask questions like, God, where are you? Why me? Why, what, how? There are days we might have this countless number of questions to ask about where is God in all of this. We should be reminded that God is even nearer to us than we can ever imagine. He's not withdrawn. He's not distant from us. He has not lost control of his world. And so when we ask such questions and in such days, of which we ask as humans, we should not lose the sense of God's compassionate, unconditional love. He loves us unconditionally, and his love is everlasting. No matter what life throws at us, we are confident that we have a Redeemer who cares about us. In Jesus, even in the darkest days, we have been given by a loving Father, a caring Father, everything we need, and even more than we need. And so, as we live here today, let us journey into the unknown future in trust and hope. Amen.